right after service, we've got a baptism. Okay, that was terrible. Right after service, we've got a baptism. Because baptisms represent a change in direction that men and women have taken. They were walking one way, met Christ, and turned a completely different way. And the cool thing about today is all the kids who are going to, people who are going to be baptized, they're just kids. They're kids. Amen? They're kids. One of the kids is your daughter. Amen? And your nephew, Monica, right? And where's Danielle at? Is she here? And your daughter? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so I don't want you to rush off and run to your cars or go home. Take a few minutes, right, and encourage these young people. Amen? My cousin's here. Y'all are singing. Going Home to See My G, the new CD. All right, man. Can I keep this one? Others have to pay, but I get to keep this one. Listen, you saw in the announcements we had this mobile unit coming to the church. We've talked about this wellness program, right? And walking in wellness and being healthy, amen? And we want to give you the tools that you need to walk in wellness. I believe that if we're living well, we can run this race longer. Amen? We can evangelize more, right? We can share the gospel more, but we've got to be well. And so November 24th, we'll have it here. I need you to get your sugar taken, your blood pressure. We want to be well so we can do the things God has called us to do. I've said this a number of times. I sincerely believe that my two brothers who were older than I am, all right, they passed away early because they didn't take care of their bodies as well they could have. I don't want to be that way. And I told you before, when my brothers passed away at 56, you know, both of them. And when my last brother passed away, I was 51. I was tripping for like 5 years. I'm calling the doctor. I'm having a video conference with the doctor. And then when I finally, the night before I was going to turn 57, I got up in the bathroom and said, Lord, I think we're going to make it. I think we're going to make it, Lord. I think we're going to make it. And we made it. We made it, right? Amen. All right. Worshiper and appraiser. We're going to look at two different things, a worshiper and an appraiser. Simply put, To praise God is to tell the story of his goodness. To praise God is simply to tell the story of his goodness. Now, you may tell the story here at church. You may tell the story at your place of employment. You may tell it in a song, or you may tell it using your social media platform. But simply put, to praise the Lord is to tell the story of his goodness. We come in on Sunday morning, "Ooh, God, you're good because I'm here. I have alertness in my mind. I have activity in my limbs. I praise you." I tell the story of his goodness. Amen? Psalms 115, verse 6, it gives permission for everyone to tell the story of his goodness. Give me Psalms 150 and verse 6. I think you have Psalms 150. If not, I'll have you turn to it the old-fashioned way. Psalms 150 and verse 6. And when you see it, you'll say, "Oh, yeah, I know that verse." Psalms 150 and verse 6. You see it there? You guys know that verse, don't you? What does it say there? Right. Let everything. Now watch this. Watch this. Watch this. I'm going to take this word let out, and I'm going to put the word allow. Okay? It's going to give a stronger meaning. Allow everything that has breath to praise the Lord. That means here God is giving permission for everyone, now watch this, whether you're saved or not saved, to give him praise. Whether you're saved or not saved, you can tell the story of his goodness. Because even if you're not saved and you're alive, God's been good. Amen? I almost got into a wreck. And I'm unsaved. I said, praise the Lord. That is true. God is good. I can tell the story of his goodness. Everyone that breathes is allowed to praise the Lord. I used to get so mad at some people because I'll read a post on some social media platform. And one day, they are telling the story of his goodness. Like, ooh, thank you, Lord. Ooh, God is good. God did all this. Yeah. And then a few days later, I'll read a post that seems to contrary the things of God. I'm saying, how in the world? Yesterday, they were saying God is great, God is good. And today, they're using language like, ooh, man, I have to block you. And just recently, the Lord revealed to me, while doing this sermon prep, the Lord revealed to me, they're just praisers. Now, all of us should praise the Lord. But God is not looking for praisers. Go with me to St. John chapter 4. St. John chapter 4. And this has been our foundational text for this series. St. John chapter 4. And we're going to look at verse 21. St. John chapter 4. And so the background is Jesus is tired from walking. He goes to this well to get some water, and he meets this woman there at around noontime, and he says unto her, Jesus saith unto her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when you shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. Now watch this. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. So the Father is looking for worshipers. He's not looking for praisers. Now, all of us should praise the Lord, but he's not looking for praisers. God is looking for worshipers. A person who is just, everyone say just a praiser has a self-imposed limit on his accessing the presence of God. He places limits on himself as far as accessing the presence of God. Now listen to this. Moses built a tabernacle. It was 50 cubits wide, 75 feet or so, about 100 cubits long, about 150 feet, rectangular in shape, and there was an entrance on the east gate. You entered from the east, and you moved through the tabernacle headed west, all right? You come into this place called the court of the tabernacle. Now, Psalms 100 and verse 4, it talks about how that we should enter his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. As you enter from the east and are moving west, you come across this altar of burnt offerings. And you would also find this big bowl that they would have water in, right? Now beyond that, it would be called the holy place. Now, there in the holy place, you would find the table of showbread, this altar of incense, this golden menorah, this candlestick there. Yet, behind that, there was this curtain. Okay, this curtain. And behind the curtain was this place called the Holy of Holies. Okay? And so you come into the court, right, and they have this altar there. You do sacrifices. Then beyond the court, there'd be this altar of burnt incense and the table of showbread. But behind that curtain called the Holy of Holies, you would find the Ark of the Covenant, where God's presence dwelt. And not anyone could go in there. Only the high priest could go in there, and that was only one time a year. And so no one had access to that place but the high priest. Now go with me to Matthew chapter 27. Matthew 27 and verse 50 and 51. Now Jesus, he's on the cross, and everything's about done. It says here, Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, this curtain that I mentioned, and behold, the veil or curtain of the temple was rent in twain or in two, from top to bottom, and the earth did quake and the rocks rent. Amen? Watch this. And so the veil of the Holy of Holies was torn, which meant two things. Listen to this carefully. Two things. Number one, it meant we now have access into the presence of God. Now, before, there was no access except for the high priest only once a year. The veil was torn, all right, meaning now we have access to his presence. But listen to this. It means something else as well, and we don't talk about this enough. Number two, it meant there was now then an invitation by God to enter in. Torn in two, we have access. But not just access, there is an invitation that God has given to all of us to enter into the place where he dwells, to be in his presence. When you and I are content with only telling the story of his goodness, then you become like the children of Israel that we find in Exodus chapter 20. Go there, Margo. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 21. Now watch this. And the people stood afar off. But watch Moses. And Moses drew near unto the thick darkness where God was. When you and I are content with only telling the story, now remember, you can tell the story. Anyone can be a praiser. But when you are content with only telling the story, you become like the children of Israel who stood afar off. But Moses said, no, I'm going in. Amen. And so you come to church Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, and those are praising God, but you place this self-imposed limit. I'll go so far. But there are some of you here today saying, I got to go in. I got to go in. I got to draw closer unto the Lord. We cannot have self-imposed limits that we place on ourselves to access the presence of God. God has invited us into his presence, into the Holy of Holies, to enjoy him. Listen, in the outer court, there was the altar of burnt offerings, where you would bring an offering. You see, if I'm only a praiser, I stop there at the altar of burnt offerings. I bring an offering. I tell the story of his goodness. Praisers bring an offering. They bring an offering of praise. But when you step past the veil into his presence, you no longer bring an offering. You become the offering. You don't bring an offering. You become the offering. Romans 12, verse 1. Romans 12, verse 1. The NIV says this. This is Paul writing. It says, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, considering God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a what? Living sacrifice. Watch this. Holy and pleasing to God, this is your true and proper what? The praisers remain in the outer court, but the worshiper presses through the outer court. They bring an offering, but at some point they become the offering. Now, I've said this on multiple occasions, and we have to be very careful. There's only one bad thing with a living sacrifice. My wife knows it because I've preached it. She's heard every sermon I've preached, so she knows it. When it gets too hot, there's the tendency to untie yourself and walk away. Oh, I can't do that. Forgive her? Mm-mm, ain't forgiving her. No. Be nice to him? Mm-mm, I can't stand him. When the fire of the altar gets so hot, there's a tendency,
I'm about to tell her something right now.
Huh? When you step past the veil into his presence, you become the offering. See, praisers stop at the outer court. See, simply praising him, listen to this, simply praising him does not require you to submit your will to him. I can tell the story without submitting my will. And sometimes the outside observer gets confused whether this person is a saint or not, because the simply being a praiser, you tell the story of his goodness, right? Oh yeah, God's good. Ooh, sure is good. Ooh, praise the Lord. Mm-hmm. But simply telling the story does not require me to submit my will to his will. The worshiper presents himself as a sacrifice. Old man Abraham, right? Young, strong man Isaac. They go up the mountain. Abraham tell his people, listen, wait here, me and the boy, we're going to go up and worship the Lord. The boy says, well, I see the fire and all that, but where the sacrifice? And Abraham said, well, the Lord provide. At some point in time, they build the altar with no sacrifice. Can you imagine Abraham, that old man, he's probably 113, taking Isaac, a young boy, and going to tie him up on the altar? Without the willingness on Isaac's part, there is no way the old man can tie him down. There had to be a willingness on Isaac's part to be tied down to the altar. There has to be a willingness on our part to be tied down to the altar. That's a worshiper. I'm willing to sacrifice my own will, my own desire, my own hopes, my own goals, my own way of thinking. I sacrifice that because I want to enter into his presence. with the invitation, there is a demand for a response. And if you don't respond, that is a response. Listen, how many of you have got invitations in the mail with the RSVP? It's still sitting on the counter. You ain't called, said you were coming or not coming. Anybody besides me? I'm the only one. God has placed an invitation. He says, I know you praise me, but I'm looking for a worshiper. Someone who will allow themselves to be placed on the altar, to present themselves as this living sacrifice, that I might live my life through them and impact the world. You see, only a praiser has a very limited impact on the world. Because if you're only a praiser, the people who are looking at your life will be confused, because one day you're a praiser and one day you're cussing out your daddy or your mama or your coworker. Amen, anyway. The worshiper presents himself as a sacrifice. A worshiper is not concerned with how others view them. Their only desire is to please him. And so when you come into the sanctuary, I don't care how ugly I get. I don't care how wild I look. Huh? I don't care. I don't care who's sitting next to me. Give me some more room then. If I'm stepping on your shoes when I jump, I'm sorry. Just give me some little more room then, right? We should have a rule like empty seat, full seat. Empty seat, full seat, right? So you'll have room to jump and shout. Amen? For a worshiper, he doesn't care. So I sacrifice my will, my desire, my goals to the Lord. I willingly lay down all my desires that I might please him. Watch this. Out of this type of sacrifice is born an obedience, a ability to walk in obedience. Out of this type of sacrifice is born an ability to walk in obedience. Out of this type of sacrifice is born an ability to walk in obedience. Now, out of obedience, we are able to fulfill our call. And this is what Paul wrote to the church at Corinth. Give me 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. It says, now then we are ambassadors for Christ. An ambassador is a diplomat sent by a country as its official representative to another land. We have been sent by the king to represent the king and his kingdom here on earth. Listen, we've been sent here by the king, amen, to represent who? The king and his kingdom here on earth, right? And so no matter where we go, all of us who are worshipers, we are ambassadors for him. We're sent by the king to represent the king and his kingdom. So everything I do, what I say, how I do it, has to represent the king and his kingdom. Huh? Everything that I say and do. My father would tell us boys, and he said, when we go out the house, he said, remember, you are green. What he meant was, don't act a fool. Amen? We've been sent by the king to represent the king and his kingdom here on earth. And so that's why we have to have influence, no matter what industry you're in, whatever you do for your job, you are called to influence your job for the kingdom. Amen? When I was working at the school, and the title they gave us was campus supervisor. I knew why I was there. I was there to influence that school for the kingdom. Not many of you know this, but before I went to the school, there were, I don't know how many mornings during the summers, a few years before that, that me and a few other people would walk up and down the campus, past the classrooms, laying hands on the doors, praying for that school. And a few years later, God opened the door for all of us to have influence on that campus. We've been sent by the king to represent the king and its kingdom, to bring godly principles into this world. Amen? That's what you've been called to do. And what you're doing there in paradise, you're doing it. Hallelujah. Establishing his kingdom here on earth is our assignment. And we are to do this in a variety of industries and vocations. But if you're only a praiser, you only go so far. When it gets inconvenient, I can't do it. But the worshiper, he pushes past inconvenience. And watch this. Everyone that's born again has been called into the ministry. Everyone that is born again has been called into the ministry. And I tell every young person, every person that comes to work for me at this church, I tell them this. Ministry is what? Y'all know it, inconvenient. It's inconvenient. It makes you do things you don't feel like doing. It makes you get up and pray you don't feel like praying. Amen? Make you hold your peace. You don't want to hold your peace. You want to say something, but you hold your peace. Amen? You take my phone call. You don't want to talk to me right then, but you take my phone call. Amen? Pray when you don't feel like praying. Fast, you don't feel like fasting. Fasting. How long is the fast? When can I eat? Well, I'm stuffing my face at 8:55. I'm just stuffing food in my face because at 9 o'clock, the fast begins. I know y'all do it. I know you do it. And can't wait till 3 o'clock. All right, well, let me get in line at 2:59. So by the time I get my food, it'll be 3 o'clock and I can eat. Ministry is inconvenient. I know it is. Listen, let me conclude here. We got a baptism. This all starts with being a worshiper. It starts with not just simply praising him, not just bringing an offering of praise to him. It's moving past that point to get to his presence. It's no longer you bringing an offering. It's now you become the offering. You become the offering. A worshiper moves beyond the outer court into the Holy of Holies. He or she does not just bring an offering at the altar of burnt offerings, but a worshiper accepts the invitation. Now, let me stress this. We have been invited by Almighty God to stand in his presence. I'm not talking about the president. I ain't talking about the governor. I ain't talking about the mayor. I ain't talking about going on ESPN. I ain't talking about going on Fox. I'm talking about you and I, you and me. We have been given an invitation by Almighty God to come and be in his presence. And I guarantee you this, you get into his presence, your life will be changed. You get into his presence, your life will be changed. You cannot be the same when you dwell in the presence of God. Huh? See, let me praise you, because praising you did not require me to submit my will to you. I'll act this way, like, you know, I'm all that, and I love the Lord, but I still want to do my thing. I still want to have control over my life. I pledge allegiance to myself. A worshiper accepts the invitation from God to come into his presence, where he or she becomes the offering. Now, there are some here today who you praise him, yeah, but God is inviting you to draw closer. Draw closer. I want you to come a little bit closer to me. I'm grateful you came into the outer court. I am. But there's more that I want to reveal to you. The children of Israel stood afar off while Moses moved and dwelt into the thick cloud where God's presence was. And to every eye closed, every head bowed for a moment. You have heard the invitation by Almighty God to become a worshiper. I'm not talking about singing a song. I'm not talking about playing an instrument. I'm talking about willingly laying yourself upon the altar and becoming the sacrifice, where your will and your desire is no longer important. And the only important thing is fulfilling God's will and God's desires here on this earth. And there may be some here today who don't know Jesus as their personal Savior. I'm talking to you. And those of you who know Jesus as your personal Savior, but you have this self-imposed limit on how close you want to get to him because you're fearful of what he may require of you. So you want to get too close to him. And I'm going to ask you in a moment or two to come join me at this altar if that's you. If you've never been saved before and you want to give your life to Jesus, or you sense that I really want to be a worshiper. I really want to accept his invitation to draw closer. So at this time, I'm going to ask you to open your eyes, stand to your feet, everyone. And if you feel the tug of God tugging on your heart to accept his invitation, I'm going to challenge you to come meet me here at this altar. If that's you, you feel the tug that God is tugging on you. You've been a praiser, which is great, but God is saying, I've got so much more. I've got so much more. Don't be content with just being a praiser. God is speaking to you. I'm going to give you a moment to come down here. Sing, John. So you can hear me. I'll wait. God may be speaking to you. Don't fight him. Don't fight him. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord.
I give myself away so you can use me. Give myself away.
I give you a few more seconds. If you want to come, you can.
I give myself away so you can use me.
So, ladies, you're up here. And you feel the tug, God saying, draw closer. And your willingness to sacrifice your own will and desire and all of that to accept his will and desire for you. And I'm going to pray for you. Yeah. Yeah. So, my favorite verse is this. This is for you. Though every care, yeah, though every care, every burden, throw it on him. Because he cares for you. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Your Father in heaven knows what you need. And he has a willingness to provide for every need that you have. He's not just a God. He's your Father. He's your Father. And he will provide every bit of grace that you need. So, ladies, I want you to do this. Just lift up both your hands. And just repeat after me. Just say, Lord, I surrender. My will, my desires, my wants, and I accept whatever your will is for me. I am a worshiper. Hallelujah. We'll say it again. I am a worshiper. We're going to do it one more time because I feel something. I am a worshiper. Hey! Hey! Listen, when I don't care where you're at, when they say, make this statement, where are my worshipers? I went, oh, here I am right here. Here I am right here. Yes, the Lord said, made this comment in Isaiah's presence, and he said to himself, he said, whom shall we send? Who will go for us? And I can see Isaiah looking around, and no one said anything again. Well, here I am. Send me. Here I am. Send me. I am a worshiper. I am a worshiper. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I pray that everyone accepts the invitation from God. Don't stay in the outer court. Don't be content with just telling the story. Huh? God wants to do so much more for you and through you and in you. Amen? He really does. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Listen, we've got a baptism to do. All right? We got a baptism to do. And so we're going to have Sister Velma come up, and she's going to give her that mic. She will come right here. She come right. I know you ain't coming to the stage. I know that. Sister Velma, you know, she turned 85 the other day. Looking good, huh?
I praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Don't get me started. Hallelujah. I want to praise him now. He has been good. And thank God for the message today. Thank you. And he gave us an example before the message in these missionaries who came to show us. That's what kept us from coming down. We said, oh, Lord, you know, that lady gave all of herself. She's willing to give up and go move wherever God says. Yeah, he may say that to us, but he may not. And the point is to say yes, whatever you say, Lord. Thank you. Father, we thank you for the word today. We thank you for your love, Lord, that it never fails, that you continue to draw us, oh God. And we praise you for what you're doing in our church and in our lives. We pray, Lord, that we will be all worshipers, oh God, in spirit and in truth and in every area of our lives, not just our church life, but in our lives where we work and where we go. And we thank you for it. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray that you'll go with these people. Go with us, oh God, all week long, Lord, and remind us of your goodness. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.